When it comes to parenting, our Heavenly Father knows what He's talking about, and He also knows who He's talking to. He knows children. He knows parents. He knows how to raise children. And He knows what the long-term influence of parenting is in the life of a child, for better or for worse. Nobody knows it better than God Himself. Therefore, He says to us in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6, "Train up a child in a way, the way that he should go, that when he is old, he will not depart from it." Train up a child in the way he should go. God calls parents to intentionally direct and shape the lives of their children from an early age. The command, "train up a child," carries the idea of dedication or consecration. That word, "train up," in the Hebrew was actually used of dedicating something like a building or the temple for its proper and intended use. So parents are to dedicate their children to God and to guide them to the life that God intends for them to live. So what is the ultimate goal of parenting? Well, it was a chilly Saturday morning at the footy oval. It was lightly drizzling, but that did not stop the crowds. Parents stood along the sidelines with their umbrellas and their coffees, whilst the young players took the field. There was a little boy in the under six team. He looked younger than the others, with his oversized guernsey hanging loosely from his shoulders. He seemed to be cold, tired, and overwhelmed. Soon after the game began, he ran to his mother in tears. He clearly wanted comfort from her. Gently but firmly, she turned him around and encouraged him to go back onto the field. A few minutes later, he returned, still distressed. Again, she sent him back. This happened several times during the game. What stood out was the expression on the little boy's face, a mixture of confusion, sadness, and desperation. All he wanted was the security of his mother's arms. What motivated the mother? Well, perhaps she wanted him to learn perseverance. Perhaps she hoped that he would become a good footballer one day. Whatever her reasons, one thing was clear: she had goals for her child. So do all parents. Parents naturally want their children to do well in life. We want our children to be happy, successful, and secure. We hope that they will have good opportunities, escape unnecessary hardship, and enjoy fulfilling lives. The details may vary from family to family. Some parents may focus on academic achievement, sporting ability, musical talent, good manners, emotional well-being, outward obedience. Now, none of these things are wrong in themselves. But the question is whether they become the ultimate goal. When they do, then parenting become focused on outward performance rather than on the heart. Yet Jesus warns us against this very danger. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 25 to 28, he rebuked the Pharisees and the religious leaders, who cleaned the outside of the cup whilst the inside of the cup were neglected. Children may appear polite, successful, talented, or religious, whilst their hearts are far away from God. The Bible presents a far greater goal. Children, or young people, do you know why God created you? Well, He created you and created all of us for His glory. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. And Isaiah chapter 43, verse 7, we studied that in our Bible study series recently. God says to His created people, I have created you for my glory. Therefore, the ultimate goal of parenting is to train and to guide, to shepherd children towards the salvation of God. To live lives that know God, worship Him, delight in Him, and live for His glory through Jesus Christ. The Westminster Confession of Faith captures this beautifully, and you may know this. What is the chief end of man? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Parenting is not merely about raising successful children, but helping children discover that their deepest joy is found in God Himself. Would you agree with that? That this then changes how we measure success for children. The better question is not simply, is my child achieving, but is my child growing in humility, wisdom, faith, repentance, and love for God? A child may excel outwardly, but lack a godly character. What good is that? Another may appear very ordinary, a child by worldly standards, but may grow in Christ-likeness. Ultimately, conversations, correction, encouragement, and activities should serve one purpose for parents with their children: to shepherd their children towards the glory of God and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. But having the right goal is not enough. We must also have God's methods. If the goal is to glorify God, then the means must reflect God's wisdom as well. So the biblical way of parenting, in Proverbs 22, verse 6, commands parents to train children in the way that they should go. There was a little girl at an airport, beautifully dressed, standing with her mother while they were waiting to board their flight. On the surface, everything looked fine. But as they waited, the child became increasingly restless and demanding. Her mother, already tired from travel, tried to settle her. But the child kept pushing her mother to the limits. Eventually, frustration boiled over. The mother turned to her daughter and in anger said words like, I am sick of you. I don't want you. Go away. And so she physically distanced herself from her child. The little girl, now frightened, in the middle of a busy airport, began to cry and move towards her mommy. I'm sorry, mommy, I love you. But she pushed her away again and again. Even at the time they had to board the flight, she was still pleading with her mother, while her mother kept on rebuking her. Now, from one perspective, some might say, well, that worked. The behavior of the child stopped. The child was brought under control. But from another perspective, yes, the child was disciplined, but at what cost? Fear, confusion, relational pain? We cannot be indifferent to our methodologies of raising children. The method of parenting is as important as the goal of parenting. They are not neutral, and God speaks to both of them. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6 commands parents to train children in the way that they should go. In Proverbs, the way is the path of wisdom, righteousness, obedience, and the fear of the Lord. Parents are therefore to guide their children in God's ways, not merely to manage their behavior or to develop their abilities. This training begins early, and it requires intentional investment through instruction and discipline and prayer, example, worship, loving communication. Parents help shape their children's characters, desires, worldview. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 and 7 calls parents to teach God's word diligently in everyday life. And Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, the passage that Matt read for us, command fathers to bring up their children in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. As Bishop J.C. Ryle observed, he says, children must be trained in the way that they should go, not in the way that they would go, left to themselves. Biblical parenting ultimately is about shaping their hearts before God. What are some of the parenting approaches around us today? Well, some rely on tradition. Some parents say, well, I turned out fine, so that's what I'll do. I'll do what my parents did in my parenting. Others rely on pragmatism. Whatever works, as long as my child's behavior changes. Some use bribery. Say to them, well, if you do this, then you'll get that. Or reward systems. Some parents use charts, stickers, pointers, money, prizes. Others use emotional pressure. Maybe like that mother at the airport. Guilt, shame, anger, withdrawal of affection. Others focus mainly on punishment. Some parents, their goal is simply to stop unwanted behavior. Still others emphasize sympathy, affirmation, and personal autonomy of the child, treating a child's feelings and perceived needs as ultimate goals. Whilst these approaches may change behavior, they bypass the heart and they miss the gospel. They may produce children who are well-behaved or appear to be well-behaved, independent and successful by worldly standards, but they cannot produce a heart that loves God or lives for His glory. What these approaches all have in common is human wisdom as the standard for parenting. By contrast, biblical wise parenting is God-centered, Scripture-shaped, gospel-driven, It seeks not merely outward obedience, but hearts that treasure and obey Christ. Methods matter because they teach children what to believe about God, how to feel about God, about authority, about obedience, about grace, about love. When it comes to parenting, our Heavenly Father knows what He is talking about. And he also knows who He's talking to. He is the one who perfectly understands the human heart. God knows the heart of children, every child. And so when God calls parents to train children, He does so as one who created these children and fully understands them. And He directs parents to go deeper than outward behavior, to the heart, which is the control center of life. As Proverbs 4 verse 23 says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for from within it flows the issues of life." The heart controls our desires, our motives, our thoughts, our words, our actions. This is why biblical parenting doesn't stop at "stop doing that" to our children. It asks deeper questions like, "What is it in your heart that made you do this or think that?" Jesus reminds us in Luke chapter 6 verse 45, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Behavior becomes the window of the soul. Parents are therefore not merely rule enforcers, but heart shepherds. And God has given us His word for this task. Hebrews 4 verse 12 teaches us that Scripture is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So it helps us to understand the heart, something that psychology textbooks cannot fully explain. Why children fear, resist, boast, hide, rebel, and more importantly, it leads us to the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when parents only focus on the behavior of their children, they may produce children who are outwardly compliant, but inwardly unchanged. Consider two children fighting over a toy. On the surface, it is a question of who had it first, right? Well, wrong. Beneath that, both hearts may be saying, "My happiness is more important than yours." Now the issue is no longer an issue of conflict over toys, but two hearts that are bent inward on self-gratification. Well, that changes everything. The goal is no longer a matter of justice, which child had the toy first, but exposing the heart before God. That opens the door to something far greater, to the cross of Christ. Children begin to see not only that they have done wrong, but that they need a Savior who can change their hearts from the inside out. God has not only given children hearts, but He has also given them a conscience, an inner awareness of right and wrong. Romans 2 verse 14 and 15 says, "The conscience bears witness, testifying to God's moral law inside of us." Biblical parenting goes beyond managing behavior. It seeks to awaken our consciences before God. Many parents feel a sense of relief when behavior of their children improves, when an apology is given, or whether a rule is followed, or whether conflict stops. But outward compliance alone does not necessarily mean repentance, wisdom, or heart change. A child may say sorry to avoid consequences. A teenager may obey to regain approval. Another may stop behavior but remain unchanged internally. The issue is not just what a child did, but what the child understands about God. So biblical parenting is aiming higher. It seeks that children would not only say, "I have broken a rule," but that they come to realize, "I have sinned against God, and I need the grace of God." A pastor told the following story. After a worship service, a man approached him with deep concern over seeing a boy take some of the offering money. So he advised the pastor, who immediately informed him, to go to the boy's father so that the matter could be handled with care and wisdom. Shortly afterwards, the boy and his father came to see the pastor. The boy, in tears, produced $2 and confessed that he had taken it, asking for forgiveness. The pastor said to him, "Charlie, I'm glad that this was brought into light. It is the mercy of God that you did not get away with it. God is helping you through this not to harden your heart because of your sin. Do you see God's kindness towards you?" Then he continued, "Well, this is why Jesus came. Because all of us have hearts that wants to take what is not ours. But God sent his Son to change our hearts from the inside out so that we can become people who give, not take." As he listened, the boy broke down in tears. Without any prompting or accusation, he reached into his pocket and produced another $20. Something deeper had happened. His conscience was awakened by the gospel, and he saw both his sin and God's mercy at the same time. The story shows us how to engage with a child's conscience. Notice the pastor did not begin to accuse or shame the child. He brought his sin into light. He highlighted God's kindness for exposing his sin, and then he pointed the boy to Christ. As the gospel was applied to his heart, his conscience did what punishment alone could never do. It produced genuine conviction, repentance, and a desire to make things right. The heart is the source of a child's behavior, and the conscience is God's witness inside the heart. Wise parenting will shepherd both towards Christ. The second part of Proverbs 22 verse 6 describes the ordinary outcome of faithful biblical parenting. Train up a child in the way that he should go, that even when he is old, he will not depart from it. When parents consistently train a child, shepherding their hearts and their consciences towards the wisdom of God, the grace of Christ, and a life for the glory of God, that training often leaves deep and lasting impressions on the life of a child. It shapes habits, and convictions, patterns of thinking and understanding God. And by God's grace, a child can be made wise for salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. But this statement, however, must be understood in the nature of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs are not unconditional promises, guaranteeing identical outcomes in every single case. But wise observations of how God's world generally works, generally speaking. Children who are lovingly instructed, disciplined, taught scripture, prayed for, shepherded towards Christ, are far more likely to continue in those ways as they grow older. Yet, faithful parenting does not remove the mystery of the human heart and the need for God's sovereign grace. Parents cannot, and they wish they can. As a church, we wish we could guarantee the conversion of children and young people. Children are not machines that can be programmed, but they are image bearers of God who respond morally before God. This keeps parents both humble and prayerful. Still, this proverb gives real encouragement and hope. God ordinarily uses faithful parenting as one of His appointed means of grace in the lives of children. The seeds planted through years of teaching, discipline, prayer, example, worship, and gospel-centered conversations often bear fruit after childhood has passed. But let us draw some practical applications. God's unchanging wisdom in a changing world. Parental advice constantly changes. I don't know if you've noticed that. If you've lived long enough, you may have. Each generation is reacting to the mistakes of the previous generation. And today's best practice often becomes tomorrow's regrets. That's how it goes with parenting in this world. But God's wisdom does not change, because He knows what He is talking about, and He knows who He's talking to. He understands the heart of a child, the weaknesses of parents, and the path that leads to true blessing. The world prioritizes happiness, success, self-expression, and achievement, but God calls us to something deeper: hearts that know Him, love Him, and glorify Him. Biblical parenting is therefore not trend-driven, but truth-driven, timeless, and God-centered. Parents must intentionally shape a biblical worldview for their children. If we simply train our children to develop their talents for personal success without reference to God, what are we going to do? We are going to form children who are equipped for this world, but they are disconnected from God. Children must be taught that they are made in the image of God, created for His glory, and that real life is found in knowing Him. Success is not ultimately achievement, but faithful, God-glorified living. Parents must continually ask themselves, therefore, are we raising children for comfort or success, or for God and eternity? God also calls parents to loving intentional discipline. Not passive neglect or angry control of their children. Discipline is not something that's done to children, but for children. It's an act of love that restores them to the way of God. Proverbs 13:24 says, "Whoever spares the rod spoils the child, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him." Likewise, Hebrews 12:6 reminds us that the Lord disciplines those he loves. In early years, discipline involves clear boundaries for children and consistent correction. As children mature, more instruction, accountability, and wisdom formation. Wise discipline is not merely focusing on behavior control, but on heart formation under God's authority. We all live under God's authority. Parents who discipline their children consistently with patience and gospel wisdom often retain long-term influence. Whilst harsh, inconsistent discipline may achieve short-term compliance, but it loses the heart of the child. But authority is not enough. Parents must also develop relationships and influence through good communication with their children. God is calling us. God is calling parents to be quick to listen, to be slow to anger, to draw out the hearts of their children. And this means asking questions, listening well, understanding what lies beneath behavior, fears, desires, temptations, and struggles of our children. Children are not merely to be told what to think, but how to think biblically. Many parents lose influence not through rebellious stages of their children, but through a lack of relational involvement with their children. Therefore, wise parenting builds early habits of conversation, trust, and openness so that the truth can be spoken into the hearts of children over time. But we must keep the gospel central. The goal of parenting is not, I said it so many times tonight, about behavior change simply, but heart transformation through the gospel. Children are in need of more than being corrected when they are wrong. They need to see their need for Christ. Scripture exposes the heart, revealing sin so that grace could be understood. Without the gospel, parenting becomes moral management. With the gospel, it becomes the shepherding of hearts towards God. If you feel you have failed as a parent, and many of us may feel like that, the very gospel that we point our children to is the same gospel that we have to cling to for ourselves as parents. Past failures are not the final word. God's grace is sufficient for all our imperfections and our imperfect homes. Therefore, if we feel we have failed as parents, let us repent. Let us seek forgiveness. We need it. Even asking our children's forgiveness and begin again in faithfulness to Christ. Parents, we can't save our children, but we can point them to the one who can give them new hearts and lasting transformation. And that is what we will do we will point them to our Savior. But lastly, parenting is brief. Days are long, and the years are short. Parents are called to sow faithfully. Pray persistently and trust God completely for growth in our children. Let us do not aim only to prepare our children for this world, but let us prepare them for the world to come. Because what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world, but he loses his soul?